May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 388. Approach my soul the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. Hymn 388.
Thank you. Our reading from God's word is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Saviour. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honourable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I've made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Saviour. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I've sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cries in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field shall honour me, the dragons and the owls, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people have I formed for myself. They shall show forth my praise. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. Thou hast not brought me the small cattle of thy burnt offerings, neither hast thou honoured me with thy sacrifices. I have not caused thee to serve with an offering, nor wearied thee with incense. Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices. But thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance. Let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mayest be justified. Thy first father have sinned, and thy teachers have transgressed against me. Therefore I have profaned the princes of the sanctuary, and have given Jacob to the curse, and Israel to reproaches. Gracious and holy Lord God Almighty, we ask thee to bless unto us thine own word we've read. Make it thy word unto our souls, the word of power, the word of authority, the word of life. We thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies, which bring us into thy house once more. Once more we come to the beginning of another week. Once more we come to thy day of rest, the day when thou arose from the dead. We ask thy presence amongst us here this day. We ask that thou send forth thy Holy Spirit now amongst us, that we may worship thee aright, with reverence, with fear, with holy love, in truth. Give us, Lord, that appreciation and realization of who it is we worship, the Almighty God. Thou who art great and high and exalted. Thou who art our creator and judge. That one whom we are accountable to whom we must one day stand before, to whom we will one day hear the eternal sentence from thy throne, either come or depart. Lord, we pray this day we may also, by faith, worship our Father, our Saviour, our Comforter, our Friend, that one whom we have known, whom we have proved, whom we have trusted, whom we have had dealings with in times past. Do draw near, we pray. Give to us that faith. That faith to worship. That faith to hear thy voice. That faith to receive thy word. That faith to see thee as thou art. That faith to follow thee in the way. Do lead us into thy truth. Prepare our hearts to receive thy word. And Lord, we ask that thy word may take root this day into our hearts. May it remain. May it bring forth fruit. May it have a precious divine influence in our lives. May it have that gracious effect. Suit thy word to every case. Grant conviction of sin to the careless. Grant pardon of sin to the convicted. Grant comfort to the downcast. Grant direction to those seeking thy will. Grant a renewed taste of thy love to those who have tasted before that thou art gracious. Could it please thee, Lord, to send none untouched, unmoved, unspoken to away this day. Bless, we pray, this house of prayer. Bless each one gathered here this day, and those who are unable to be here. Remember those who are sick and grant unto them healing mercies. Remember those who are away, bring them back in thy time, and bless them where they are found under thy truth this day. And bless each one who is found here today. Remember them each in their daily lives, with their various pathways, with their various needs. Do supply those needs. Those needs in their families. Those needs in their businesses. Those needs in their bodies. Those needs in their relationships. Those needs in the church here. May, Lord, they hear thee say, and then, Lord, may they walk in it. Cast, he said, on me thy care. 'Tis enough that I am nigh. I will all thy burdens bear. I will all thy needs supply. Bless, we pray, the ministry of thy word here. Apply thy word with power, with authority. And may, Lord, there be signs following that thou hast worked. Grant, Lord, those gracious additions in this church. And grant, Lord, those gracious additions in the congregation also. Bring in to this house of prayer those who thou hast a purpose of mercy and love toward. Those whom it is thy will to meet and to save, to bless and to feed here. And do gather into this church those whom thou hast saved, those whom thou hast blessed, those whom thou hast met here. And do bless this church, each member of it. Keep them together, keep them at thy feet, keep them humble, keep them in union and peace, keep Satan out. Be a wall, a protection about them. May thy glorious and precious presence be known with them. Be with them in their church meetings. Give them the mind of Christ as they consider the business of thy house. Be with them when they meet around thy table. May they often have a touch of thy dying love there. And be with each member of this congregation. Bless each one of them with living faith. May each be taught to seek thee in a time when thou mayest be found. May each be taught their need of salvation, their need of forgiveness of sin, their need of the blood of Jesus Christ. Their need of the righteous life of Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, may that need be abundantly supplied through the ministry of thy word here. Bless, Lord, the Sabbath school. Help the teachers as they teach the young. And help the young as they are taught. Lord, may a seed be sown, which will abide, which will remain. And Lord, may there be those in years to come who will have to confess that the work of grace was begun in the Sunday school. Bless, Lord, thy church as it meets this day. Up and down our land and throughout the world. Help thy servants as they preach thy word. Open the treasures of thy gospel. Help them to exalt a precious Christ. Help, Lord, those who hear thy word as it is preached. May preachers and hearers alike lose sight of each other and sit down at the cross of Christ and see no man but Jesus only. And Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for our rulers. We pray for our fellow citizens. We ask you, Lord, to grant that gracious revival in this land. Grant, Lord, that repentance for sin, that turning to thy ways, the restoring of thy laws to our statute book, the removing of those laws which are an offence to thee. Build up thy church, we pray. And Lord, we ask that thou wouldst begin that revival in our own hearts. For Lord, do we not need it as much as those outside? Revive thy work in the midst of the years. Could it please thee, Lord, to begin thy work this day? And give us, Lord, the faith, not just to ask for it, but then to look for it. And to rejoice when we see it. Be with any, Lord, who need thee in any special way at this time. Draw near unto them, we pray. And grant them to know that thou art with them, that thou art near, that thou art over all, and that if God be for them, who can be against them? And now, Lord, we ask thy blessing upon us. We ask thy presence near. We ask to feel a union sweet. We ask a blessing on thy word. We ask, but all our askings meet. In this, we ask thy presence, gracious Lord. And we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 11. Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart and the boast of my tongue. Thy free grace alone, from the first to the last, has won my affections and bound my soul fast. Hymn number 11.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 43, and the opening verse. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. This verse is the answer to the prayers of your first two hymns, seeking for mercy, asking for mercy, looking for mercy. The answer is in our text, the words of a merciful God. But now, thus saith the Lord, let us not pass too quickly over the first two words, but now. And in so doing, we must consider the context, which is the previous verse of the last chapter, chapter 42. And you will notice there it talks about God pouring out the fury of his anger. What a contrast there is with how Isaiah 42 ends and how Isaiah 43 begins. The difference between the two is these first two words, but now. Isaiah 42, the anger. And it says here, the fury of his anger. We know what fury is. It's intense anger, is it not? It's energetic anger. It's great anger. If someone is furious with you, you cannot reason with them while they're in that state. Such is human anger. But you know, the anger in verse 25 and the fury spoken there is almighty anger. The anger of God himself. And who can stand before that fury? That fury is the fury of hell itself. That's where God's anger is poured out. Without measure and without end. Who can stand before an angry God? One day you and I will stand before God. And in that day, we will either be standing and experiencing Isaiah 42, verse 25, or Isaiah 43, verse 1. And on where we stand will be where we will spend an eternity. And where will you stand in that day? Consider your ways. Consider your end. Where are you travelling to? Either to heaven or to hell. But look now at the contrast of verse 1. But now. This word but whenever it is used, it speaks, does it not, of a contrast between two things. But now. In other words, there was a time when the fury of God's anger was known against you. But now it's different. What a precious but this is. Has it been a change? Has there been a change in your life? Have you come to this but? In the words of John Newton, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Can we say that? Can you look back and, in all honesty, trace a time when you did not know God, when you did not want to know God, when you were blind to your need of God, your need of mercy, your need of salvation? But then there came a change. There came a difference. There came a time when you knew your need. There came a time when you began to pray. That is a but now of our text. What happened? God began to work in your heart in mercy. But now. Now, what does this mean? It means the present tense, does it not? It means today. It means this moment, this hour. This moment in time. That's what now means. But now. Thus saith the Lord. What a blessing it is that God has spoken, that God has revealed his will to poor sinners, that he has not kept silent. He could have done. He had an absolute sovereign right to do so. Once Adam and Eve rebelled in the Garden of Eden, he would have been absolutely just never to have spoken again. But he has spoken. And in all the lives of the Lord's people, they have these moments, these thus saith the Lord's, when he speaks to them and they know it. A word of power comes into their hearts like no one else speaks. A word of comfort, a word of correction, a word of direction. Some of you have known it. There's nothing to compare to it, is it? when the Lord speaks. And they are precious times in the lives of his people. But now, thus saith the Lord, and unlike anybody else, when the Lord speaks, he always knows what to say, how to say it, and when to say it. And when the Lord speaks, we can be absolutely certain what he says will come to pass. Of no one else can that be said. But what the Lord speaks, what the Lord says, he always performs. He always fulfills his promises. He also always fulfills his threatenings too. His words of judgment will be surely fulfilled just as much as his words of promise. But now, thus saith the Lord, friends covet these thus saith the Lord's. Because the Lord doesn't speak to the wicked like this. They never hear his word. My sheep hear my voice, the Lord said. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Only the sheep of Christ hear the voice of God. Hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Have you got that mark? You've heard his voice and you've known it's his voice. It's one of the marks of the sheep. And if he's never spoken to you, you need to prayerfully consider whether you are a sheep of Christ at all. But now, thus saith the Lord, that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Here he is speaking and acknowledging the two natures of Jacob of old. Here he is acknowledging the two natures of all the spiritual Jacobs. First of all, Jacob. And what nature did he have? You can read his history in Genesis. And the old Jacob had a very perverse nature. He was ruthless and determined to get what he wanted. And he was quite prepared to do anything that was necessary to get what he wanted. He took advantage of the weakness of his brother and of his father when he caused Esau to sell his birthright and deceived his father into receiving the blessing. And while it was not right for Esau to sell his birthright, it equally was not right for Jacob to tempt him to do so. And the solemn thing is that now in how Esau is bearing a sin which Jacob tempted him to commit. May that never be said of us. What a solemn thing would it be if someone was lost in hell and part of the burden they had to bear was a sin which we tempted them to commit. Be careful, friends, how you live. Be sure your sin will find you out. It did with Jacob. And then how he deceived his father. Worse than that, he even brought God into his deception. When a suspicious Isaac asked him why he had come back so quickly from the field, he responded that God had brought the venison to him. That was a lie. That was taking God's name in vain. And that, I believe, is one of the reasons why his life after that was a very hard one. God forgave him his sin. It did not shut him out of heaven. But God rebuked him for that for the rest of his life. And friends, we all have a Jacob nature. It may not be the same nature as he had in that sense. Perhaps you are not a supplanter or a schemer or as ruthless as he was, but you have your own sins. You don't need me to mention them to you. Your conscience tells you. None of us have a stone to throw. All of us, by nature, have this nature, a sinful nature, a nature offensive to God, a nature polluted and corrupt and perverse and rebellious. But now let's say if the Lord created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. But that was not the end for Jacob, was it? He came to Bethel. And that ladder in that dream set up, and the Lord standing above it and saying to him, "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. And I will bring thee again into this land. I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." The Lord spoke to him, and Jacob was never the same man afterwards. "And he that formed thee, O Israel," God formed in him, as he forms in all his people, this new nature, the Israel. Christ formed in the heart the hope of glory. "And he that formed thee, O Israel." How many here this morning have got this new nature? How many of you can say, "I am not what I would like to be. I am not what I should be. I am not what I one day hope to be, but I'm not what I once was. And if you can say that, that is a mercy. That you're not what you once were. What were we once? Strangers to God. What were we once? Enemies to God. But no longer. When God in mercy begins to form this nature in the heart, we are no more strangers. We are no more foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God. We are no longer faithless or graceless. Because God has touched our lives. God has begun a work. And when he begins a work, he always carries it on to completion. That work of faith. That work of grace. That work of forming the heart and fitting it and preparing it for heaven. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. Fear not. Fear not. 77 times in God's word, we have this word, fear not, repeated. And God never repeats himself without a good reason. He repeats himself 77 times because we need it. I think I'm right in saying that this is the 47th of the 77. And what does it signify? Friends, it signifies that for every one of your troubles, God is all sufficient. God is almighty to save. God is there. Fear not. What does it mean to fear not? It means to be at rest. It means to be at peace. It means to be calm. It means to be still. It means to have confidence that it will be well with you. Fear not. The fear nots of our text and of God's word means that we have confidence that God is on our side and that he will work on our behalf and that he will bring us through safely. Fear not. It means, in a word, to trust God. To trust God for your present situation. To trust God for your future situation. To trust God with your very soul. Leave it in his care, your soul's needs, and then also the needs of this present life Jacob had to learn that in his life. For as long as we are upon earth, so long will we need God's help in providence, in our life here. And God will provide that help. He will provide that guidance. Far more in the soul will God provide your need of pardon, of forgiveness, your need of peace, your need of Him. He says, I will supply all your need. Fear not. And if God gives you the faith to see that this morning, you can face today, you can face tomorrow, you can face the tomorrows of this week and of the weeks to come, you can face even death itself. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? Fear not. Fear not, because almighty power is on your side. Fear not, because you don't have to face the future or the present alone. Fear not, because in mercy the Lord Jesus Christ has dealt with all your fears. Of course, fear is the fruit of sin, is it not? There was no fear before Adam and Eve rebelled. In the Garden of Eden, the first time we read of fear is there in the Garden of Eden, that day they fell. When they hid from God because they were afraid. It's the fruit of sin. But here we have in our text, God overcoming. God dealing with, God subduing this fruit in mercy. And some of you have known, have you not, that peace, that comfort, that rest, which faith in Christ brings when He speaks to you. And when that faith is in exercise, it is impossible to fear, is it not? Just as it was impossible not to fear. When you didn't have that faith, when He gives you that faith, when He speaks, the circumstances in life may not have changed, but you are at peace. Why? Because there was a change. God spoke. And He gave you the faith to trust what He said. Fear not. Ask God to give you a fear not, friend. A fear not, especially for your soul and its future standing. Because God never says fear not to the wicked. Why? Because they have every cause. They have every reason justly to fear. They have got to go back to the previous verse of the previous chapter, the fury of His anger to face. They have every good reason to fear. But not the Lord's people. They are never going to face that fury. Because that fury has been put away on the cross at Calvary when Jesus died. And that is the only way that you and I can escape the fury of his anger. If that fury instead was spent on the head of the Lord Jesus, on that cross at Calvary. And because it was, to those whom God, for their sake, poured out the fury of his anger on his beloved Son, he says, "Fear not." And then he gives three reasons in this verse. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." There's the first reason. "I have called thee by thy name." There's a second reason. "Thou art mine." There's a third reason. And then if you want to go into the second verse, "I will be with thee." There's the fourth reason. "For I've redeemed thee," the first reason. What does that mean? Redeemed. The word redemption means that a price has been paid to set someone at liberty who was in captive. A price which was demanded of them that they couldn't pay themselves. And so someone kindly pays it on their behalf. "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." Because of our sin, we are all of us in captivity. Because of our sin, a payment is demanded that we can never pay ourselves. We owe to God payment for our sins. Justice demands it. And all sin will be paid for, without exception. All sin will be punished, either you will have to endure that punishment forever in hell, or you will know the joy of our text, "For I have redeemed thee." For those for whom the Lord says, "For I have redeemed thee," the Lord Jesus Christ himself has paid that price on that cross at Calvary. He did not deserve to be punished. In his whole life, he had never done anything wrong. He had never done anything which displeased his Father. But upon that cross, he was punished. He was punished for the sins of others. And upon that cross, he redeemed a people. A purchased people. He purchased them or redeemed them with his own precious blood. He had mercy upon them. He bore the pain. He bore the shame. Child of God, he felt ashamed for your sin. Child of God, he felt the pain of his Father's anger against your sin. The Father was angry with him because you had sinned. And he endured that anger. He endured that shame. He endured that pain. He endured that misery. until each and every one of each and every believer's sins was put away. That's what it means when he says, "For I have redeemed thee." What does the hymn writer say in his highest work, redemption? "See his glory in a blaze. Nor can angels ever mention aught that more of God displays. Grace and justice here unite to endless days. In the person of the Saviour all his majesty is seen. Love and justice shine forever, and without a veil between. Worms approach him and rejoice in his dear name. Would we view his brightest glory? Here it shines in Jesus' face. Sing and tell the pleasing story, O ye sinners saved by grace, and with pleasure bid the guilty him embrace. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee." And you know, beloved friends, here is the blessed fact, that whereas before, justice, the holy justice of God demanded, child of God, that your sin be punished. Now that it has been punished in Christ, justice demands that you go free. Justice demands that on the day of judgment you are acquitted of all charges. Justice demands that heaven's gate opens for you and that hell's gate is forever locked shut. That's what the redemption work of the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. And that is the only way to heaven. That is the only way to find peace with God. That is the only way back. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. And child of God, this morning you may be in trouble. You may be in the second verse, in the rivers, in the waters, in the fire. But you know you'll come through all of them. And you'll get safe to heaven. And you know there is no water, river or fire there in heaven. It's a place of perfect rest, perfect deliverance, perfect peace. There's no fear in heaven. So fear not. Fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Here is the second reason. I have called thee. God calls his people. God calls his sheep one by one. He calls them by grace. Here below. That means he calls them to a life of faith. That means he calls them to know him, to follow him, to trust him, to love him. He calls them to live a life of prayer. What a precious gift prayer is it not? God has a throne. A throne of power. And he sits on that throne. And he is perfectly able to answer all your need. He has the ability. And that throne is always open. Night and day. And we are not forbidden from coming to that throne. At any time of day or night, we can come to that throne of our need. There is no need too small, and there is no need too great, but that he has not forbidden us to come and ask him for help, ask him for deliverance. He hasn't ordained that path of prayer because he doesn't know himself. He does know. We can't improve his knowledge. But he has ordained it to improve our own knowledge. To teach us our need of dependence upon him. To teach us that we can't do it all ourselves on our own. To teach us that in the way of salvation we can't do anything on our own. It's all his work. To teach us humility. Because if our needs were supplied without us asking, we would very soon take them for granted, would we not? And because the Lord loves his people, he delights to hear them spread their needs before his face. I have called thee by thy name. So have you known that call by grace? Have you known what it is to be called to the mercy seat, which we opened our worship with this morning, where Jesus answers prayer? There humbly fall at his dear feet, for none can perish there. And can you remember that time when you were called to pray differently? There was a time when your prayers were only about this life. But then there came a time when you began to pray about your soul. Lord, save me. Lord, pardon me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, guide me. Lord, help me. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That is the experience of those in our text. I have called thee by thy name. I've called thee by thy name. And then thy name. If somebody calls us by our name, usually it's first and foremost to get our attention, is it not? And then when they've got our attention, they tell us what they want to tell us. And sometimes the Lord does that, does he not? He brings you to a dead halt. To make you listen. And then he speaks. I have called thee by thy name. What else does it say? It says he knows everything about you. He doesn't need anyone to tell him your name. He already knows it. It speaks of your past history, your present circumstances, and your future pathway. Jacob proved it in his own life, did he not? When he wrestled with the Lord Jesus Christ in that pre-incarnate form. He asked him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said that to bring him to a knowledge of himself. Jacob. And in that word, Jacob was brought to realize his sins. But you know, That wasn't the end, was it, for Jacob? He had a future. Even though at that night he felt his future had come to an end, because Esau had murder in his heart. But it wasn't the end, was it? Because God intervened. Now, friends, you too have a future. You can't see it this morning, some of you. You are, in verse 2, passing through the waters and the rivers and the fires. What does it signify? The waters, that's the beginning of trouble. The rivers, that's more intense. Waters are still, but rivers are fast flowing, aren't they? You perhaps feel you're being swept away. You feel out of control. You feel out of your depth. God is never out of control. God is never out of his depth. God is over it all. The fire, that speaks of the pain, does it not? The suffering. The darkness, perhaps, a difficulty. But the promise is that you'll come through it. And notice here, verse 1. The fear not comes before you come to pass through the waters. Before you pass through the rivers. Before you walk through the fire. Fear not, it's already there. When you need it most. Remember that. Because when God gives you a fear not, he always does it for a reason. You can guarantee you are going to need it. You can guarantee that you'll soon be in a position where there are going to be fears. Because otherwise he wouldn't say it. But when they come, remember the fear not. Don't forget it. Fear not. And when you are in the deepest river, when you are in the most intense flame, remember the fear not goes with you. And because he has said fear not, you'll come out the other side. It might not be the time that you want. Notice it says when thou walkest. It doesn't say when you run. You've got to walk. And you say, well, why is that? Because if you ran, you wouldn't learn the lessons God intends you to learn in the fire or in the water. What are those lessons, you say? Dependence upon God. Humility. An increase in faith. You asked, did you not, for an increase in faith? You asked for a stronger faith. You asked for a clearer faith. What's happened? Your life's been turned upside down and you can't understand it. Why? God's answering it. He's putting you in a position where only he can help. Where only he can appear. To deliver you. That's how he answers prayer. To strengthen faith. But you will come through. You will not be destroyed. Satan has brought you into the fire to destroy you. God has brought you into the fire to refine you and to teach you. And it's God's purposes that will be fulfilled, not Satan's. So fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Thou art mine. In other words, you belong to God, your Redeemer, your Saviour, your friend. He's yours, and you are his. Thou art mine. And in verse 4 it says, thou art, since thou wast precious in my sight. You're precious to him. And you're precious to him in the fire as well as in the green pastures. You're precious to him in trouble as well as in those times when things are going well. And he will preserve you. He will protect you. And he will deliver you. Thou art mine. Thou art mine because I've called thee. Thou art mine because I've redeemed thee and purchased thee. Mine to save. Mine to bless. Mine to guide. Mine to uphold, mine to teach, mine at last to bring you safely through to the end. So fear not, because the Lord has spoken. And what Christ has said must be fulfilled. On this firm rock believers build. His word shall stand. His truth prevail, and not one jot or tittle fail. Amen.
God willing, Sunday school is at Bethany this afternoon. There will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Timothy Parrish, who will also preach our special service on Good Friday morning. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Izzard is engaged to preach and administer the Lord's Supper after the evening service. Let us close with hymn 534. Mercy speaks by Jesus' blood. Hear and sing, ye sons of God. Justice satisfied indeed. Christ has full atonement made. Hymn 534.
And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, be with us, now and forever. Amen.